every area of my life. I don't want to lack in any area of my life. I want to prosper in all things. I want to prosper with everything I put my hand to. I want my vehicles to go down the road prospering, even though they told me it's going to cost $12,500 to fix our car. We've had the car for a long time. We're getting a new one. The money's there. We're buying a new one. But I'm going to prosper. I want to prosper in all things. I want to prosper my vehicles to work. I want my kids to prosper because they're my offspring. I want prosperity to chase me, not only chase me, but to overtake me. And the Bible says that it will. I want to prosper in my health. This is what we've been talking about the last couple, 3 weeks, is prospering in our health, because that's what the second part of this verse says here. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Who wants to be in great health? Who wants to be healed? Who wants to be whole? Who wants to have divine healing flowing from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet? Hallelujah! Somebody ought to shout. Woo! I want to prosper in all things and be in health. But there's a condition to that. Sometimes we don't want to adhere to the conditions. We want it. We all want it. I want it. But sometimes there's a condition to that. And if we read the rest of this verse, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul is prospering. Your all things in your health prosper in proportion to your soul prospering. Your mental health, your financial health, your physical health, they prosper in accordance to you prospering spiritually. If you're only feeding a little bit on the word, you'll only prosper a little. Because really, where do we get our prosperity from? Where do we find out who we are in Him? It's through the word. So if you want to know how you can prosper in your health, you want to know how you can prosper in the all things that 3 John is talking about, we got to know what the word says about that. I mean, we can make some things happen on our own. We can work hard. Anybody like to work hard? I like to work hard. I like to sweat when I'm working. Yeah, we won't go there. Anyway, but sometimes we can do things on our own. We can work hard to make things happen. Guys, it's bred into us. It's in us. We need to be fixers. I'm a fixer. I see a problem, I want to fix it. If I walk into a room and I don't see a clear-cut leader, I'm going to be the leader in that room. Sometimes I have to hold back because I'm not in charge. Carrie, tell me, you're not in charge. But I want to be. But it says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you're sowing time into the Word of God, you'll reap the things of the Word of God into your life. If we have faith, we believe, if we trust, when you talk about faith, it's a trust in God. If we trust in His Word and we're in His Word, we got the Word in our face, it's right here, it's down in here. If you're spending time, you're investing time in the Word of God, then you'll reap the things of the Word of God. We're talking about health and we're talking about healing these last few weeks. If we spend time in the Word of God, investing ourselves on what the Word of God says about health and healing, we'll start, and we believe it, we have faith, we trust God in what He says, we will reap what the Word of God says about health and healing. Anybody willing to make the investment? We all want to walk in divine health. We all want to walk in divine healing. We got to put in the work. We got to make the investment. Work might not have been a good word, but we got to make the investment. But if we're not willing to make the investment, if we're not willing to put in the work within the Word of God, it says here in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't, and destroyed, that's a strong, you think, oh, that's a strong word. Well, my diabetes runs in my family. People say that. Well, cancer runs in my family. Poverty runs in my family. And when we say that, I think to myself, number one, you'll never hear me say poverty runs in my family, but we use poverty. Poverty just runs in my family, and that's the way I want it. You may as well say, and that's the way I want it. If that's the confession we have, well, the thing of it is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We get in the Word, we find out what the Word of God has to say about finances. We find out what it has to say about healing and health. You'll walk around saying, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the way I want it. Men will heap unto my bosom when I give, and that's the way that I want it. I'm going to test God. He said He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much on me that I can't contain it. And that's the way I want it. I want to have to swim in the blessing. treading water in the blessing. But if we don't know what the Word of God has to say about the things that confront us in our life, then we can't walk in that. We're not prospering in the area, if we're not seeking it out, whatever it is that we're going through, then we won't prosper in that area because we don't know. You don't know what you don't know. When we're studying the Word and we're getting the knowledge of the Word on the inside of us, that increases faith. The Bible says that faith only comes. You can't pray for faith. Faith only comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want your faith to increase in a certain area in your life, then you got to know what the Word of God has to say about it. And then start standing on it. And I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the circumstance looks like. I don't care what mom and dad may have said. Well, you can't. No, it doesn't. No. The Word of God says, and that's where my faith is at. You can't sway me. Abraham was a stagger not. He staggered not at the promise of God. God made him a promise. God has made us promises. Got a whole book of promises here. Are we staggering when it comes to the need that we have in our lives? If we are, then we'll not receive what the promise says. But if we're not staggering, we need to get t-shirts that say, I'm a stagger not. I think I'm going to do that. I'm a stagger not. I don't stagger. I take what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's just it. That's just it. That's how you got to become when it comes to your health and your healing and your prosperity, whatever that we need to prosper in. You got to get to the point where the Bible says it. That's it. That's it. There's no other option. That's it. When we read the Word and you get into it and you read it one time, I always say that the Bible is progressive. And what I mean by that is, anybody ever watched a movie and then watched it again? And the second time you saw something that you didn't see the first time? That's what I mean about the Bible being progressive. You can read it one time and the Holy Spirit reveals something to you. You read that same verse again. How many times have you heard Mark 11, 23, and 24? Boom. Hundreds. But each time you read it, the Holy Spirit peels back another layer of the onion, shows you something else that you didn't see. And so that's how I look at the Word. I look at my situation that I find myself in. Probably over the last few years, there's nothing that I can't figure out. Well, that's a bold statement. You don't know everything. That's true. I don't know everything. But I sit there. We were down in, I may have shared this before. We were down in Casey a few years ago. My daughter lives down there. The hatch wouldn't close on the back of my SUV. And at first I'm like, am I going to have to tie it down with a rope to get home, 3-hour drive home? Then I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do. And literally, I went in there, into the car, and sometimes you know how you can program your key fob and you got to put it in gear, take it out of gear, push the brake, push this button, push that button, and finally it programs. I get in there and the Holy Spirit's leaving on, lock, unlock, lock, unlock, lock. I just kept doing that, lock, unlock. Go back to the back, turn the key, push the key fob. Before you know it, it released. I shut the back and took off. I'll figure it out. Now, was that the right way to fix it? No, but that's the way the Holy Spirit told me to do it, and it worked. Now, after that, I had to go spend $25 on a part and took me an hour to fix it. But it got me home, and I didn't have to tie down that back in. So I just believe that, you know, it's progressive. The Holy Spirit, he'll show us things that we don't know. When we spend time with Him, we spend time in the Word, we spend time seeking out God. So the Holy Spirit, He'll reveal more to us about our health and about our healing. A few years ago, I was preaching at our previous church, and I was asked to preach on a Wednesday night, and I got a revelation of this. Been spending time in the Word, especially getting my message ready, spending time in the Word. Scheduled to preach, I'm sicker than a dog. But I go anyway, because I know what the Word says about my health and about my healing. At one point, I'm on the pulpit like this. I mean, I feel, I can't stand, I'm sweating, I'm feeling a little bit dizzy, but I'm leaning on the pulpit. I'm giving the Word just the way that the Holy Spirit gave me. Giving it like I got it. And so as I'm giving the message, putting it out there, speaking the Word forth, all of a sudden I started feeling a little bit better. Kept on preaching. I'm leaning on that. I'm still sweating. I mean, I'm still sweating. But he wasn't going to keep me from getting that message out, because I knew what the Word of God had to say about my health and about my healing. By his stripes, I've already been healed. That's what the Bible says. You're already healed. Jesus paid for it on the cross. That's one of the things he went to the cross for. Those stripes he took on his back, that's what he paid for, was our health and for our, paid for our health and our healing. So I'm preaching that sermon. And when I got done, I was 100% better. I walked away from that pulpit. I wasn't sweating. I wasn't dizzy. I wasn't feeling sick in any kind of way. What did I have that got me through this? We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. The Word is what got me through this. The Word is what's going to get you through it. When we read the Word, it's as if Jesus is sitting there talking to you. He's talking to you. When you read the Word, just imagine, okay, this is a conversation you're having with Him. Here's some promises I gave to you, Rick. Oh, okay. I'll go ahead and take those. But in Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 20, it says, "My son and daughters, attend to my words." So he's saying, pay close attention. Respond to my words. He says, "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart." Don't let them swerve this way, veer that way. Don't let them leave. Don't let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Keep hold on to them. Guard them. Be faithful to them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. These words are important. As a believer, if you don't read your Bible, now everybody in this room I know reads their Bible at least 4 hours a day. At least 4 hours a day. But if we're not keeping the Word in front of our eyes, if we're not keeping the Word in the midst of our heart, getting it down, taking it from here, getting it down into here, if we're not doing that, then we can't walk in the healing and the promises that God has for us. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting with verse 1. Bunches of promises. But it all starts with knowing the Word, spending time in the Word. Then you go on down into that same chapter, and it gives you some promises also if you don't spend time in the Word. Whatever you just read in the first number of verses there, it's the exact opposite if you're not spending time in the Word. But we spend time in the Word. So that those promises, those things that the Bible says about us because we're in Him, they don't just run after me. They overtake me. And you know what? I'm not running from them. Come on. I'll take a blessing right now. But they're important. Now, some people will say, "Well, I have the Holy Spirit." Yeah? "And He's guiding me." Yeah, okay. Well, the Holy Spirit can only take you as far as the truth that you have on the inside of you. How much truth do you have on the inside of you? He'll lead and guide you by way of truth. In John chapter 8, the Holy Spirit, He reveals truth. And what's the truth? It's the Word. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him." Any believers in the room? Okay, we got some believers in the room. There's a real big word coming next. If. If. So that means, there's a stipulation. There's a qualifier here. If you abide in my word. We abide in his word. So he's saying that the word is Jesus right here. He's saying that the word's important. He's saying that the word's important when it comes to your health and comes to your healing. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Anything that has you bound. The truth, the Word of God, it will make free you from anything. The Word is the thing that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. If we look at John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's going to reveal to us all the truth. Well, the truth that He's going to reveal the Word as we spend time in it, getting to know Him. So in this proverb here, and we're going to get down, we're talking about health and healing today. We're going to get down to verse 22 here in a second. But in this proverb here, it's saying, listen up. He's saying, listen up. Incline your ear. Lean in. Listen to what I'm saying. Take hold of it. Let it become a part of who you are. He's saying, lean in. Stay in my word. Get it down on the inside of you. And when it's down on the inside of you, we keep coming back to the word. Why, Rick, why do you keep talking about the word? Because when the word is on the inside of you, it talks about how out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. If you're going through something physically, if the word is on the inside of you, what are you going to do? You're going to speak the word to whatever it is that you're going through. And then you trust and believe that this is it. The Word of God said it. I believe it. That settles it 100%. No doubt. No wavering. No staggering. No drawing back. The Word of God says it. That's it. So once again, why should we pay close attention to these words? Verse 22. Why should we attend to them? Why should we incline our ear to them? Why should we keep them in the midst of our heart? For they are, my words, they are life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, to me, that's pretty specific. The words, we get in there, we find out what the Word of God says about our health. It says here that it is health to all their flesh. Does that sound like something spiritual? That sounds to me like something that you can see, feel, and touch. It's life. But if you don't have the word in here, then you can't walk in this health to all your flesh. Anybody going through anything today? Think about it. If you're going through anything physically today, and maybe you are. Maybe you're diving into the Word and you're on it day and night and you're believing God and you don't care what the situation looks like. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what's in your family history. Doesn't matter anything. You're saying, man, I believe God and I'm standing and I'm going to keep on standing until I see the full manifestation of it. I'm not giving in. I'm going to stand strong. When I've done all to stand, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be moved in any form or fashion. If that's what you're doing right now, man, keep going. But if you're going through something and you're not, what I just said there, man, get into the Word. Get it on the inside of you. When a symptom comes on, you speak the Word of God to that symptom. When the devil came to try to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus do? He said, it is written. Came at him again, it is written. Came at him a third time, said, it is written. And then when he was all done, Satan left. It says that Satan came, he left to come back at a more opportune time. It's not that he won't come back and try to plant stuff in your mind. I hear people talk about how you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. Didn't understand that at first. Doubts can come to your mind. But if what's in your heart, the Word of God, you're going to speak that out of there and it's going to take care of those doubts. Somebody, I think it may have been Brother Hagin said, you can let a bird may fly over your head, but you don't have to let him sit and build a nest in it. You don't have to meditate on those thoughts. You take those thoughts captive. Symptom tries to come on you, little sniffle, little cold tries to come on you, headache tries to come on you, you take authority over that little sniffle, you take authority over that little headache and say that by the stripes of Jesus I've been healed, and headache, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you're gone, and I loose healing power into my mind, into my head. Being in that pulpit when I was feeling sick at that time, it felt miserable. I didn't want to be there. Now, when I first got there, did I go around slapping people on the back and hugging them and shaking their hands and all that? No, I didn't. Because if there was something that was going on in me, which there was, and somebody else's faith wasn't there to withstand that, I don't need to go around shaking their hands, hugging them around the neck, You know, we Christians, oh, just go and give somebody a hug their neck. Some people don't like their neck hug. And they'll let you know. Anyway, I didn't look at anybody in particular. But as I began to preach, I began to get rejuvenated. When I left that pulpit, I was 100%. Then I went around shaking people's hands, and I didn't hear about anybody getting sick later on. But we said, we were talking about last week, how that we believe that it's God's will to heal all. Is it God's will to heal everybody? Well, the only way that we can really know that for sure is to go to the Word and see what the Word has to say about it. Now, we looked at also the ministry of Jesus. What did Jesus' ministry consist of? And you can go look it up, but you're going to find that Jesus taught, He preached, and He healed. And that's pretty much the extent of His ministry. He taught, He preached, and He healed. Look at Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 29. It says, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. It says, a vast crowd. Now, when I saw the word vast, sometimes we'll just read right over that word. It reminded me of something. Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? Carrie and I have been to the Grand Canyon. Other people have been to the Grand Canyon. When you stand, when I stood there and looked at the Grand Canyon and the vastness of it, the bigness of it, it didn't look real to me. It looked fake. Now, I wasn't going to step over the edge to find out whether it was real or not, but it just didn't look real to me because it was so huge. It was so vast. And it says here, a vast crowd. So a sea of people, a Grand Canyon of people, a bunch of people. It says they brought to him people who were lame, who were blind, who were crippled, those who couldn't speak. So you got a big old long line of blind people. You got a big old long line of crippled people, a vast amount of people coming to Jesus when he sat down there on that hill. And it says, and many others. And they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. Was anybody left out? Nobody was left out. No condition startled Jesus. Ooh, I've never seen that before. Six toes? Eight toes? No, no. Nothing surprised him. We get a crippled person walking down here, and they're coming for me to lay hands on them to see them healed, recovered. It shouldn't surprise me. Because the Bible says that the works that he did will do also and greater because it goes to be with the Father. Well, what did Jesus do? He taught, he preached, and he healed. Every believer, if we know what the Word of God says and you know your authority with regards to those things, you will teach, you will preach, and you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lay hands on yourself. I laid my hands on myself one time and prayed for myself. Somebody told me that's not Bible. Well, it doesn't say that you can't lay hands on yourself. It says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. We can stop the flow of healing and health in our bodies, though. We can play a key role in stopping the flow. Well, how do you do that? Lack of knowledge of what the Word of God says, number one. And number two, our own words and our own attitudes can stop the flow of healing in our bodies. But if we are spending time in the Word and know what the Word of God says about our health and about our healing, we're not going to say words like that. I've said it before, when it comes to Carrie and I and our home and our kid and our finances, you'll never hear me say that we lack in any area of our life. It may appear that we're lacking in a certain area, but I don't care what it looks like. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what the Word of God says about my situation. And so I'm going to speak the Word of God over my situation. Now, God has been good to us. He has. And we're going to keep speaking that goodness in our lives. In Luke chapter 5, according to the ministry of Jesus, teaching, preaching, and believing equals prosperity in our health. But if we're not taking time to meditate on that, I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I've been to a doctor. Matter of fact, I just filled out some paperwork of my family history and sent it to my doctor yesterday. He's going into private practice now. Bernie Ranchero is his name. Anyway, in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day." So there actually was a day. It was a certain day. "As he was teaching," oh, the ministry of Jesus, teaching, preaching, and healing. "As he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Didn't say it was present to heal some of them. It was present to heal anybody and everybody who may have been ailing in any kind of way. The present, as I'm preaching right now, as I'm teaching right now, and the word of God is going out, it should be producing faith in your spirit right now. And if you're going through something physically right now, it should be stirring you up with regards to that. Because it's saying here that we just read in the previous verse that he healed them all. So that means he'll heal you. He'll heal me. "As he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went onto the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus." That reminded me, as I was typing out that verse there, Carrie and I went to Brazil a few years back on a missions trip, and we were in one of the churches down there, Paz Project Amazon, and the church had like 7 services a day. Big church. I mean, big. I say big, probably 1,500 people in one service. 7 services a day. They didn't have glass windows. The people were so hungry to hear the word of God, they were sitting in the windows, lined up across the back of the church. Every seat was filled. And when the church was let out, they actually had to have police to guard to get the people in and out, because there was just a mass of people that were anxious and just couldn't hardly take it. They had to get in to hear what the word of God had to say to and about them. But they were sitting in the windows, hungry for the word of God. But it says here that they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before him. Now in Mark chapter 2, it talks about how he had 4 friends that let him down through the roof. It talks about how they went up onto the roof and they peeled back the tiles. Everybody's got to have 4 crazy friends. I can look out here right now and I see some crazy people. Crazy for God people. That I could count on to do what it takes to get me to where I need to hide. Y'all know who you are too. That I could count on to get me where I need to be. And they can count on me to get me where they need to be. So they let him down in front of Jesus. And it says, when he saw their faith, what did he see? How do you see faith? You see a corresponding action to what Jesus just taught. It said that when he was there, he was teaching. They heard the teaching. They had a corresponding action to what he had just taught. And so they got the 4 crazy friends. They got this guy on a mat. They tear the roof off of the place and they lower him down and set. Jesus is sitting here. They put him right there. Why? Because they couldn't get into the house. There was such a vast amount of people that were there. And the scribes, and then it goes on here to say, when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" You got a group of people in there, all these scribes and Pharisees. And he says that the power of God was present to heal them. They're more concerned about religious things than what the power and presence of God can do for them personally. We need to get to the point where we're not concerned about, well, in our church, we do it this way. In our church, we sing three songs and give a nod to the preacher, hoping he's paying attention so he can come up onto the stage. Just so you know, that happens here. You know, I get the little, so I got to be watching, you know. But it's fun. But we can develop attitudes and not get what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in divine health and healing. We've read it here. Presence was there to heal them. They brought all these crippled people to him and deaf people. He said, and he healed them all. So we know that it is his will to heal you. In verse 22, it says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? What's in their heart? The word of God wasn't in their heart. They're Pharisees, they're religious people, but the word wasn't in them. Reasoning in your hearts, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up from before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Man, you ever get set free from something? Do you walk away? Thanks, God. With your head down? No. Anybody ever cheered at a football game or a baseball game, World Series game, anything like that? Thank you, God! Yes! Whoo! I'm healed. I'm whole. I don't have to live that way anymore. I used to walk with a limp. I was laying on a mat, and they had to put me down through the roof. Man, I'm jumping up. I'm glorifying God. I don't have to live that life anymore. I'm good. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to the house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Man, that shouldn't be strange to us. Health and healing, whatever way God does it, it should not be strange to us. It should be our normal life. Some of you know that I like to play disc golf. Some of you know. And I was out on disc golf course, and on four different occasions, I fell in a hole. Twisted my ankle. And the last time that I did it, I'm like on hole three. I still got 15 more holes to play. So I stood up, and I said, okay, Lord, I got 15 more holes to play. And I just started praising him, and I started walking. Played the rest of the course. Played the rest of the round. But then he also spoke to me, too. He says, when you're walking out here in this grass, look down when you walk. I started looking down, and I haven't fallen in a hole since. Now, that was hard for me because of the previous job that I had. I was always taught that you don't look down. You look up. You look people in the eye. And I still do that. Somebody's walking by me, and even if I don't know them, they probably think I'm weird. Because I'll look them in the eye. I'll stare them down. But I'm looking for an opportunity to get Jesus in there, though, is what I'm doing. But there are outside forces, even people, that we may have to walk away from when it comes to our health and our healing. We may have to separate ourselves from them. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5. There's some circumstances, some situations that we may have to change in our lives. Mark chapter 5, verse 20, starting with verse 21. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. A bunch of people came up onto the other side of the shore there. And he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, so you got a church guy here, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Obviously, he had heard Jesus teach, he had heard him preach, and he had seen him heal the sick. Otherwise, why would he have said that? So he knew that this is what Jesus did. This was his ministry. So Jesus went with him. So Jesus was like, okay, let's go. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed and thronged him. So he's walking around, he's getting jostled around. Anyway, on down to verse 35, because in between that, we got interruption from that lady with the issue of blood. She kind of interrupted things. But anyway, moving on. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, they're getting ready to plant some seed into this ruler's heart, who said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, how many of you know that one word from Jesus can change everything? Where do we find his word today? Right there. One word that we put in our face, we incline our ear to, and we get it down into our heart, can change everything in your life. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. Jesus had already told him, I'm going to come heal your daughter. These guys are trying to plant some seed of doubt, and Jesus continues teaching this ruler, the synagogue, don't be afraid, just believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Jesus had to separate this ruler from the crowd. The crowd will try to take you down. I told the story last week. Swinging doors just like that. Little kid, preacher's kid, gets hit right in the square in the forehead by those doors, splits his forehead open. I'm new to this whole word of faith, charismatic stuff, and I lean over and said, whoo, looks like he needs stitches. And the preacher swings around at me and says, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm like, I've never been called Satan before. I was a little bit offended at first. But after he said that, the dad grabbed the son's head, put his hands on him, and I literally saw that skin come back together. He believed. It was on the inside of him. So like he's telling him, he had to tell me, not that I'm Satan, get out of the way. Get away from me. If you can't, if you're not thinking like we're thinking here, I gotta separate this from you. So he said here, to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow but those guys there. And then verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. What's tumult mean? I looked it up. A loud, confused noise caused by a large mass of people. Walked into that. They've told the dad that his daughter's dead. Jesus tells him, don't believe that. He gets to the house and he's seeing all this other stuff going on, trying to convince him once again, well, my daughter's dead. This proves it. They're here. They're wailing. That's what they do. The ladies get together and they wail. And guys were probably wailing as well. Verse 39. And when they came in, he said to them, all the wailers, why make this commotion and weep? Child's not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. We know she's dead. But when he had put them all outside, got to get rid of some more people. If you're standing for something within your body, if you're standing for something within your mental health, whatever it may be, sometimes you got to get away from some people. Because they'll speak, they will, maybe not intentionally, but they'll start speaking doubt and unbelief into your life if they don't have the word on the inside of them. Kicked them all out. Then he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha, which is translated little girl, I say to you, Jesus said, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years old, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. When you're believing God for health and healing, sometimes you have to get away from all the good, get all the good intentions out of the room. They're not trying to necessarily hurt you. They may just be stating the facts as they see them. How many know that facts can change? They can change. They have the best of intentions. They're there to comfort you and cry with you and weep on you and throw their arms around you and, you know, tell you all kinds of different things. And people do that. But sometimes you got to get good intentions out of the room. And just grab onto the Word of God. Grab onto it with both hands and just write it out. Sometimes to get people healed, you have to get away from certain crowds. Sometimes you got to get away from your family. Sometimes you got to get away from your spouse. My spouse wouldn't do that. But sometimes you just got to get away from people. You got to distance yourself from any kind of talk like that. I've had people want to tell me somebody's whole life story before I've even met them, giving me all the goods and the bads and the ups and the downs and all that type of thing. And I got to separate myself from that. I got to distance myself from that. I take the person for, they walk up to me, they start talking to me. I've got the Holy Spirit who will speak truth to me. I've got the Holy Spirit who will speak to me things from heaven. And I got the Holy Spirit who will show me things to come. And God also gave me some common sense. But I got to separate myself from that talk. In order to have the promises that are of God that are trying to overtake you, sometimes you got to get away from some people. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 33, or verse 33, it says, "Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Faithless company will hinder your faith. It says, "Don't be deceived. Evil company." If that's who you're hanging out with, if that's who you're listening to, that's who you'll become. So sometimes you got to get rid of some people. That sounded harsh. But sometimes you need to separate yourself from some people in order to receive what it is that God has for you. We're going to look at Mark chapter 7, verse 31. It says, "Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through in the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in speech, and they begged him to put his hands on them. And he took him aside from the multitude." He had to get him away from the crowd. He's about ready to do something to this guy here that would probably be considered a little bit unclean. It kind of freaks me out a little bit too when I read it. Kind of turns my stomach a little bit too when I read it. But he had to get him away from the crowd. But he's about ready to do something here. "And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue." I just got a shiver, just so you know. "Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. The word got out. They started preaching about Jesus, this guy who just got healed. The word got out. The word got out to more and more people. They started hearing more and more about Jesus. So whenever Jesus would come around, "Hey, I've heard about you. I've heard about you. You're the guy who spits on people's tongues and, you know, gets their tongue loosened up in their ears. You're that guy. Man, you can do some mighty things. Matter of fact, I've got this little ingrown toenail. Can you, man, he'll do it. He'll do it." "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Sometimes you got to get away from people. If you're believing God for something physically, we're talking about health and healing, and somebody's talking the exact opposite of what the Word says, you got to walk away from them. I heard of a preacher one time, his wife had an inoperable brain tumor. Had her in the hospital there, and they posted a nurse outside the room. And if your name wasn't on the list, you couldn't come in the room. We don't want doubt and unbelief in this room. You can't come into the room. And nobody went past that nurse. She made sure of it. Okay, I got 5 more minutes. I'm not going that way. I'm going to land this plane. We've been talking about health and healing. And we've been talking about how it's God's will that He heals all. We've seen in the Word where He did heal all. We've seen in the Word where multitudes, a vast number of people came to Him with all kinds of different things, and He healed them all. We see that we've been talking about here in the Word that sometimes you got to get away from some people when you're believing God for something. But there are also some natural things that we can do with regards to our health and healing. I believe, and we've heard it, if you know anything about Rhema, Pastor Hagin says that the natural and the supernatural come together to create an explosive force for God. So I believe there are some natural things that work with some supernatural things. Some of the natural things that we need to think about when it comes to our health and when it comes to our healing. Just so you know, I'm not a dietitian and I'm not a doctor. Just so you know. You may have confused me as one, but I'm not one. But there's some things that we can do. We can eat right, right? We can exercise, we can take vitamins, we can stay away from foreign substances. If you need help in an area, you seek the help, whether it's a doctor or whatever it may be. The Lord told me, probably about 2 or 3 years ago actually, but I didn't take Him serious until last year. He told me that I would die before I completed the things He had for me if I didn't lose weight. He told me that about 3 years ago, and I didn't take Him serious till last year. And so I had to make some changes. God's got some things that He wants me to do in my own life, for the people here, for the community. He's got things that He wants me to do. And if I don't do what He's telling me to do in the natural as well as the spiritual, because they work together, I can be all spiritually minded and be no earthly good. I can die before my time. I'm not dying before my time. I've done the one thing that He told me to do. I'm down 76 pounds from last year. I got 13 more to go. But I'm going to hit that 13 because I know He's got stuff for me to do. I didn't do it alone. It wasn't, I mean, anybody ever been on a diet and succeeded the first time? It's, oh, I didn't do it alone. Our insurance provided a dietitian for me. Taking supplements, portion control. If my plate wasn't, if I started to feel full and there was still food on my plate, I left it on my plate. How many were told when you were younger, you're going to eat everything on that plate? We're brought up that way. But I'm at the point now, we went to Yoder's last night and I started to feel a little bit full. Okay, I'm done. Didn't matter what was still on my plate. So there are some natural things that we can do with regards to our health. And so we need to combine having the Word in front of us, having it coming out of our mouth, having it in our heart, speaking to the things that we're dealing with, calling those things that are not as though they were. We need to be doing all that stuff spiritually, but there are some natural things that we can do as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I couldn't honor Him with my body when I was 76 pounds overweight. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. I could barely get down out of the attic here without getting on a knee and crawling down, you know. There's some changes that I had to make, some adjustments that I had to make. I'm not saying, this is me. I'm talking about me. This is what I had to do because the Lord told me, He said, if you don't, you will die young. And so I made the changes. I made the adjustments. But it says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. I want us to walk out of here today actually being encouraged with what the Word says. He wants to heal you of anything and everything that you may be going through. If it's physical, if it's financial, if it's emotional, if it's whatever it is, He wants to heal you of everything that you're going through. But it says, just as you're prospering spiritually. So how do we prosper spiritually? We spend time in the Word. We spend time in prayer. We spend time fellowshipping with other believers. we spend time teaching and preaching and doing the things that Jesus did. We get that mindset, that becomes our lifestyle, then those blessings he talks about overtaking us, they'll overtake us. We'll walk in them daily. We'll walk in the favor of God daily. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had here today. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that your word says that faith only comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as we heard your word read here this morning, as we heard your word spoken of here this morning, faith was stirred in us. Faith was planted on the inside of us. And as that faith is planted in on the inside of us, and it's a part of us now, Father, when we face situations, just like you, Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up that gift that's on the inside of you. Stir up that faith that's on the inside of you. And when we stir that up, we can have a knowing, we can have a trust that whatever your word says, it's true. And we can count on it. We can count on you to come through every time. We're the believers, you're the performer. And so we fully expect you to operate in our lives, in the all things and in the health, just as we're prospering spiritually.